Music button.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering.
The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media. This is the underground. This is New Media.
Ranger fans, report the critical thinking hangar. Ranger fans, report the critical thinking hangar.
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey. Oh, we're gonna lose. We lost the game. The season's over.
Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Game 2 wrap up. Eastern Conference semifinals. Jim here with you. Eddie, good evening. How are you?
I am doing very well. Almost too well after a playoff loss. I am brimming with confidence after we lost that game. And usually I will be heavy on the critique. I think you'll find out during this program. Not a lot of critique on my part.
Honestly,
so I'm doing very well.
Good. Glad to hear it. Honestly, same goes for me. I have a few little nitpicky things as far as my take on the game. Other than that, you know, I remember watching, I don't know why this has always stuck out with me, but I remember watching, you remember Jerry, what was it, Jerry Girard on Channel 11 used to do the sports?
Yes. Yeah.
And for some reason, I remember watching Met highlights. He was doing the Met highlights one night on the news, and he said, sometimes you just get beat, and that's what happened to the Mets tonight. Now, granted, that happens to the Mets a lot of nights, but that's kind of the way I felt. They just got beat. A couple of mistakes. Nothing drastic. I thought they played well. Sometimes you just get beat.
Sometimes you just lose. That's the way it was, you know. It was a game that I thought they played very well in. I thought they played very well in game one, too. And they won that, and they lost this one.
Right.
I was going to say,
you know, some nights you play really well and you lose, and some nights you play well enough to lose and you win. You know, and sometimes that's got to even out.
Well, yeah, and I don't want to degrade any fans in this fan base because we're all one united, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I don't like fans who act like petulant little children that if they lose, they've got to find a scapegoat in order to justify the loss. Now, I know some people go to the officiating, some people go to plays. And let's face it, some players, sometimes it is, that is the case. This was not the case in this game as far as I was concerned. There were a couple bonehead mistakes out there. But overall, in the whole breadth of the whole entire game, can you say it cost them the game? I think they played a very good game. They may have played the best game of the playoffs yesterday, I thought. The defense was very involved in the offense, which I love to see. Michael Delzato had a very good game. I thought that we did not spend a lot of time in our own zone. We spent more time in their zone, which has been an oddity in these playoffs, but has been something we've been successful. I thought we had a lot of quality chances. We outshot them. You know, I really thought they played good enough to win. Like you said, it just didn't happen. And sometimes it just doesn't happen, you know.
Right.
And I think in your opening when you were doing the, you know, it's the end of the season, that whole bit, that there are that little bit of, you know, that faction of Ranger fan that just goes nuts. Like it's I don't know. I mean, this is a whole new thing for these guys, for the fans and the players. And you really can't, I see it's counterproductive. And, you know, well, listen, me and you are going to get on, and the rest of us here on Blue Shirt Underground Radio, the fans and the calls, and if there's somebody to get on, we'll get on. But to me, there was no justifiable homicides to be done in yesterday's game, as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, my issues were more of the nitpicky variety, but nothing that I'm going to nitpick about was, you know, none of it led to a goal. None of it was disastrous. Just little things. But I'll tell you that the biggest of my little things, I don't think Ryan Boyle was ready to come back last night.
Really?
Yeah, that's my opinion.
What gave you that? What did you see that gave you that?
I just thought he looked out of it. He looked like a guy that had a concussion within a week ago, and he just didn't. To me, he admitted to the press. He said, "I stunk." He said, "I was terrible." He said, He said that several times to the media today. I stunk. I was terrible last night. I don't think he said anything like I wasn't ready to play or I came back too soon. That's just my opinion. I'm just basing that on what I saw. He looked. Now, granted, he is never going to be confused with Carl Hagelin when it comes to skating speed. But I thought he looked slow. He looked slow even for Brian Boyle. He looked slower. He looked to be. He didn't seem to be as involved in the play as he normally would. He just looked a step off. Everything just looked a little off with him last night. And, hey, that's understandable. I mean, we've talked a bazillion times about a concussion and what it does to people and the effects of it. But I don't think
I'm not a crazy person, despite the brain injury.
Thank you, Frankie. Welcome back. I just don't think one more game off would have hurt him. That's all. Hey, props to him for giving it a go. But I don't think it would have been the worst thing in the world if he'd have sat one more out. That was my – and that's –
Well, then what do you have? You have Steve Eminger up at wing? I mean – I thought Boyle – see, to me, I didn't get that feeling. I don't know why. I thought he made a good play with Washington blocking a lot of shots and getting in front of a lot of shots. There was one play where he faked the slap shot and then took a wrist shot, which I thought was good, although the wrist shot was like really weak. And I think even he, and it was far out. But I thought at least it was smart. I don't expect much from Boyle offensively. So I wasn't really nitpicky on him. But that's a good point that you bring up. I'll have to watch that. And if you picked it up and then he backed you up by saying he played awful, then he must have been, you know, he must know something too. But I guess, you know, coming back from a concussion is a slow process.
Yeah, and he wasn't sharp on the faceoffs. He was 6 of 14. God only knows how many he got chased out of. I lost count. Everybody was getting chased out of faceoffs last night. Again, I mean, we talked about it before, but every faceoff. You know, it's getting to the point where you gotta put three centers on the ice at all times. Who's gonna get pulled through? For these faceoffs,
I would put the guy who doesn't normally take faceoffs out there, Make him cheat so he gets thrown out so he can bring in the other guy, the real guy. Don't say you got a decoy. We got to play games with the linesman. It's a game within a game now with these guys. These guys are total chuckleheads.
Could you imagine?
They're total chuckle.
Could you imagine if the referees had been this like that in Game 7 in 94? McTavish gets chased out of the dot. Well, actually he Keenan had Messier on the ice with McTavish for just that reason, if I remember. Yeah, Messier was on the ice with him, so it wouldn't have been disastrous, but it's just funny. Yeah, so you know, that was my biggest nitpicky thing. I got something regarding the broadcast, and then a few other little minor picks. So wherever you want to go, you tell me.
Well, there's a couple interesting, I think, points in the game where things may have. First of all, the Rangers coming back and tying it, I thought was, you know, I really kind of didn't, you know, because it was 2-0 at one point. You get down 3-0, it starts to get a little dicey, real dicey.
Well, with this team,
yeah. So when they came back, that showed me a lot of moxie, a lot of, you know, intestinal fortitude. So, you know, you've got a third period with like 15 minutes left. It's tied, whatever. And you're waiting, and we're all on the edge of our seat waiting to see what happens. Really felt the Rangers were going to get the next goal. I really felt that they were going to do it. And then they got caught taking two penalties. They took the first penalty. Forget who it was on. And was it too many men on the ice, I think. And Kreider served. And then Kreider comes down on the breakaway.
Right.
And Holtby robs him. And the crowd is it's getting so electric out there when Kreider touches the puck. And when he got that breakaway. I mean, I haven't heard that kind of craziness in so long. I know it's the playoffs and everybody's super amped.
Kovalev
to a degree, I would say.
That type of buzz when he's on the ice, when he's got the puck, that's what it reminds me of.
And it was interesting because, you know, we know he's fast, and we've seen in the five games he's played, how fast he is, but to see him, you know, in the NHL, using that speed against an NHL defenseman, just leaving him in the dust, and then just going in, and then, you know, having to make the move. And listen, Holtby made a good save on it. There's no doubt about it. That certainly was a turning point in the game. But then, and again, I'm not here to crucify. I'm just picking out, I think, a turning point in the game is Brad Richards takes a bad penalty. Now, I know you people want to blame the referees, but you know they're going to call it. And this guy's a veteran guy. Richards taking that back-to-back penalty. And I know it's, you know, hindsight is 20-20, or as Barbara Walters would say, 20-20. It is 20-20, but that ensuing power play for the Capitals, well, right off the face-off, led to the Ovechkin goal, which I kind of was thinking to the show when he scored, because I was saying, you know, let him play the point. I want him on the point on the power play. I think they're doing a disservice to themselves, Washington, by having. And then he scores from outside. But that, to me, you know, that was the difference maker in the game. But I'm not going to go into the blame. I'm not going to play the blame game. I refuse, because I thought the Rangers played a hell of a game in that game. They just lost, like you said, Jerry Girard.
Yeah.
Sometimes, what is the quote?
Sometimes you just
sometimes,
get beat.
And that was it. That was it. I was proud of the effort. I wasn't, the results sucked. But listen, you can't win every game.
Right. I said in the Facebook group today, nobody, you know, this isn't 1934. You don't sweep to the cup anymore. This is what it is. You know, there's ups and downs, highs and lows. There's cheering, there's vomiting, there's pooping. Sometimes all three at the same time. This is what the I mean, you know, and this is not that, you know, I feel like an old guy sitting on a porch in a rocking chair. You know, the younger who haven't experienced this, you know, you didn't go, and I'm not even just talking about 94, you know, guy, you and me and Mandar and Howie, somebody, you know, we went through 85, there was a great run, and 81 or 82, one of those years, I think they had a decent run. You know, this is what it is. It's 79, you know, I mean, I was only 9 and 10 years old. You're a little bit older than I am, but you know, this is what it is. You don't win every night. There's ups, there's downs, there's...
Well, that's just... we're talking 30, 40 years ago. I mean, we don't realize it, but we are old. I mean, I'm 47. In 79, I was 14. Yeah, 14. That's 33 years ago.
Kevin, I'm not blaming your generation. It's just you guys... I think some of your generation... doesn't really, because you've never seen it. I mean, these guys that are 23 years old, you know, from the time they were 10 to the time they were 17, the Rangers never made the playoffs. They had no idea.
Well, and also, Jim, I don't know where the, because they haven't seen it, where the sense of entitlement comes from. We don't have a winning history. For God's sakes, if I didn't love this team so much, if I looked at this team statistics, this team is a perennial loser.
They're the Leafs.
I mean, we have one Stanley. I mean, we don't win Stanley Cups.
Right.
I mean, this is, you know, we're not talking about the Canadiens or the Detroit Red Wings here. We have no. So why do we feel entitled? And why do we've got to get on, guys? I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, they were flipping out about Gabrick yesterday. Because he didn't score. But did people see that fantastic move he did to set up Richards for the first goal?
Yeah. I've said this before. I blame it on two things. One, there's too many places for people to complain and voice and get into a mob mentality. There's 100 Ranger websites and message boards and Twitter and Facebook. That's one. And the other, it's the Yankee mentality. Yankees, if the Yankees don't win a championship, it's not a successful season. If the Yankees don't win every day, if the Yankees are 124-38, they want Girardi fired.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be.
The guy won a World Series 2 years ago. Yankee fans can't stand him. Do you have any idea what a Met fan would do to have one World Series before they die? You guys get one every 3 fucking years, and you want to fire the manager. Now I'm off on a baseball rant. I haven't seen a goddamn World Series win in, 30 years? We going on 30 years yet? 25, 26 years.
Yeah, and we milked that one like you wouldn't believe. We're having an 86 Met Day every week.
Bailing Lenny Dykstra out of jail just so we could throw a party. Poor Gary Carter. No hitters.
Yeah.
John, that will never happen. I am convinced that will never happen. Forget the no-hitters.
So,
anyway. We're off topic.
Yeah, so I was pleased with the performance. I wasn't pleased with the results. Guess what? There's a game 3. This isn't like, I think, apparently, and people don't know that you actually play a whole series, that it's just one game in a series. Yeah, I was pissed off. It ruined my mood. They lost. But if they would have played horribly, like some of those Ottawa losses, and even those were kind of fluky. I mean, you know, in this game, puck goes off McDonough's skate. Fucking Jason fucking Chimera. Gotta stop with this guy. And Mike Knucklehead, another guy, 6 goals on the regular season, the fourth line of the Capitals.
Did you
gotta
see
watch
the numbers they posted?
Joel Walton. Who?
Did
what?
You see the numbers they posted on Chimera during the broadcast? where it was something like in the playoffs, or he's got 2 goals in 200 games against every other team in the NHL, and he's got like 7 goals in 5 games or something like that against the Rangers. I mean, it was ridiculous numbers.
He's the John Drews.
Yeah, he is.
I hate to say it.
Yeah.
You know, it's that fourth line. And then, Ovechkin, he gets the goal. Listen, it was a good goal. It was a nice shot. I fucking hate the guy. But they win the game. So what? Yay. They got to figure. I think the way they're set up now, maybe they're going to be led into a sense of false security because they did win at the Garden. But I think the Rangers have them solved. I really do. I mean, I have never been this confident after a loss, which is a weird place for me to be. I thought they played good. The Rangers had a lot of jump. I liked the way the defensemen were jumping into the play. You know, Delzato hits the crossbar at the end of the game. You know, they hit a lot of posts and crossbars in game one.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things that happen in a game that can change it. And I didn't, you know, and then there was other people who got on Bickle for the, I think it was the last goal, the third goal. Not the third goal, the second goal, I think it was. I'm not sure. What are you going to do? Stu Bickle, I mean, he's been steady all year. I mean, you can't, I think he got caught or whatever. I mean, yeah, look, like you said, there's only minuscule things that really irked me. I thought the Rangers played a pretty good game, so I'm not flailing yet, as Torts would say.
I mean,
not in the least, actually.
You know, the way I look at it was
shut up.
Hey, thank you. They got, you know, the Caps got the. Got the goal that bounced in off the, was that McDonough? It was McDonough's foot, wasn't it? And
right.
You know, they got the early goal from Knubel, and then they got the shot from Ovechkin, which was an absolute laser. I don't know if two Henrik Lundqvists in goal would have helped on that shot. And you know, the Rangers, Delzato hit the post like 12 times. So I'm not, you know, it wasn't. I'm not. You know, it was like everything had to. To me, it was almost like everything had to just fall absolutely perfect for the Capitals to come out with that win. And I don't think that's going to happen every night, which is why, you know, I think the Rangers will be just fine. I really do. So let me give you my little nitpicky things on the game. And this is mostly going to be directed at the coach, Jack Adams. First of all, 3 minutes to go, and I know this is an old argument. 3 minutes to go, Boyle, Prust, and Fedotenko are on the ice, you're down by a goal. Why? There's no need for it. There's no reason for it. You're not protecting a lead. You're trying to tie the game. I think Ovechkin scored that goal, put the Caps ahead, and then I don't know if he saw the ice the rest of the game. Because they didn't need
no,
him
I don't
about
think he
scoring
did.
A They didn't need him to come out and score a goal. When there's 3 minutes to go and I'm down by a goal in the playoffs, it's Stepan Callahan and Kreider, and then Gavrik, Richards, Hagelin, and then rinse, repeat. Those are the two lines that I'm putting out on the ice for those last 3 minutes. And then my other thing.
Yeah.
A minute and a half to go in the game, I'm down by a goal. Dan Girardi, I love you, but I don't want you on the ice. Dan Girardi shouldn't be on the ice with a minute and a half to go. Anton Strawman should be out there with that because he's got a howitzer for a shot and he's accurate. He should be out there. McDonough should be out there. Even Staal. Dan Girardi, this is when Dan Girardi should be sitting for a few minutes. And I think it was Girardi with about maybe 4 minutes to go. Girardi takes a pass. I want to say it was from McDonough. McDonough passes the puck to Girardi behind the net. Now, I kind of understood, I think I understood what Girardi was trying to do. He was trying to hit, I think he was trying to hit Hagelin, who was streaking down the boards. Okay?
Another play you're talking about, yeah.
Girardi steps into the circle, He's got nobody around him. He tries to hit Hagelin with the stretch pass. Haglund's on the boards. Girardi throws the puck right up the middle, and it goes all the way down ice for an icing. Stop it. Don't ever do that again. If that's what you were trying to do, stop it. Because that pass was so far off. It was just ridiculous. And then my other nitpicky thing is...
You got a lot of nitpicky things here tonight.
Well, this is broadcast.
Usually I'm the one who's got more gripes.
You keep doing this to me. Stop! Stop doing this to me! Stop! Oh!
At one point, Delzato takes a shot, right? He's in front of the net, inside the blue line, you know, maybe at the top of the circle, and he takes a shot that goes, if you could believe it, 15 feet wide of the net. And Eddie Olczyk...
I can believe it.
Eddie Olczyk is splooging all over himself. I mean, they're going to have quite a mess to clean up by the time he was done. That Ovechkin... Tip the puck. Oh, he got an Ovechkin with a great play. He got a piece of that puck. Look what he does here. Now, I love Phil Mushnick in the New York Post, his column, because he writes about this all the time, that an announcer will describe the play, and he'll be wrong, and then he'll go back and watch the replay, and he'll still say he's wrong because he wants you to believe what he says, not what you see. I went back and watched that replay four times. Ovechkin was nowhere near the puck. It was just a horrifying shot by Delzato. It was a terrible, terrible shot. But Olczyk wanted you to believe him that Ovechkin got a piece of the puck. He was nowhere near
him.
His stick was nowhere near the shot.
I mean, that's, you know, it's what we talked about in the last broadcast, about if you're expecting NBC or anybody to... get on the real Rangers storyline. The Rangers, I thought, dominated that game. Maybe I'm seeing it through Ranger. I thought the Rangers played one of their better games in that game, but they were force-feeding us. Ovechkin, 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 the Capitals, their offense, Ovechkin. I mean, it felt like, again, I know we have a persecution complex when it comes to announcing. We feel like we don't, and when you're rooting, especially for a team, you feel like the announcers sometimes are against you. But I really get the feeling that it's not equal. Or they're just so enamored with the Ovechkin storyline, which to me is so, like you said in the last broadcast as well, there was a time when I used to be scared shitless when that guy used to be out on the ice. You know, I would be counting the seconds. Now, he's out there. He's dangerous. You know. But they are going to give you Ovechkin 24/7 because that's all they. You know, they just. You know, that's what the storyline is. You know, Rangers, they block a lot of shots. Okay, that's their storyline.
Right.
I mean, and if I got to go. No, this is triggered one of my rants now. If I got to hear one more time that friggin' Eddie Olczyk, Edzo, whatever they call him, Putzo.
I set him
off,
folks.
He coached Ryan McDonough in the under-18 Team USA, for the under-18. He had nothing to do with Ryan McDonough's development. Stop trying to give Ed Olczyk any kind of credit as a coach. Look at his coaching record. It speaks for itself. He was a disaster. So stop with that. If I can hear it in game three, I'm going to assassinate him. Can we say that? I just did.
I don't know, man. Might be over the line.
You think that might be over the line? Okay.
Too much?
Too much. I won't assassinate him. How about I embarrass him?
There you go. All right. Before we go to the phones, Saturday, the big viewing party. You excited?
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. I haven't seen any Facebook. I know that I'm part of this thing, and I have been a little remiss in my duties, but I thought there'd be a Facebook event up by now. Somebody would have done something.
Excuse me. Excuse me. The Facebook event has been up for a week, and I've posted in the group at least three times.
This classifies me as a low-grade moron.
Exactly. And make sure you RSVP on the event page.
Bye-bye.
I'm out working. I'm working Twitter, trying to draw people in. We got, I mean, it's going to be a, you know.
I love how I completely was an oaf on that one.
Well, good job, Jim.
Doing a good job.
I think we're going to have a good crowd.
Yes. I hope so. I don't even know you're talking to Adam Rader there. Is it Adam Rader going to be down there?
I have heard rumors that he will be there. And I've never met him, so I'm looking forward to it.
Adam's a great guy. He really is a great guy. So what's your vibe about? What's going on with this viewing party? When is it? I haven't gone to that Facebook event thing, so tell me the details.
When is it?
Saturday, right?
No, it was yesterday. We had a great time. Sorry you couldn't make it.
Well, I know
your wife
Saturday.
Had a great time. She was very entertaining. She was telling jokes. And I'm surprised she didn't
tell you. No, it's Saturday. It's this
Saturday.
Upcoming Saturday at 12 o'clock. Bar opens up at 11.
Actually, I got a text from one John Slattery, the owner of Slattery's Midtown Pub. Slattery's Midtown Pub at 8 East 36th Street will be open at 10 a.m. just for us.
Wow. Let's get loaded and get loaded early.
Before the game starts. I won't even be there that early. I probably won't make it till about, I'm hoping by 10:30 I should be there. 10:30, 11 o'clock. So, but yeah, they're going to open at 10. It's on 36th Street in between 5th and Madison.
Well, I've got to try to get me and Coast to make carpool. And since every time I jump on Facebook, Coast is, are we carpooling? I have to actually jump off Facebook real quick because I just didn't want to deal with the pressure. Coast, you're driving me nuts. I got so many people who might go, want to go. I don't know. I don't know to the last minute in my family. My family, my brother tells me things the last second every minute. So I apologize. I'll help. If I can do it, I can do it.
Are you schlepping high C?
No. No, he can't make it. He's got to work.
Oh.
But my brother, I may bring my friend, TNT, also known as, what was his name on this show? He made fun of Kotze on this show. I forgot what his name was. Oh, Darth Ranger.
Oh, okay.
One of the all-time greats. The real muscle behind the mouth. He may show. I'm going to find out tomorrow morning when I get together with the guys for the game. Now I heard Telltale. I didn't see the event, but I did see you post something about the King Cinco de Mayo drink specials. Are you hosing me, or is that something real?
Cinco de Henrik. I'm calling it. No, margaritas, $6, frozen or on the rocks, and tequila shots, $4.
Now, I don't drink those kind of drinks. Is that better than normal?
I would think $6 for a margarita in the city is probably a good price. And $4 for a shot, I would think that's a good price in the city.
Yeah.
And hopefully, last time they were giving us free shots when the Rangers scored. It only happened once, but hopefully
they were absolutely terrific to us last time.
Yes. Yeah. And they're going to have this all set up upstairs. They've got, they're going to have two microphones for us. It's going to be a real hoedown.
Okay, and before we get to the phone calls,
hey,
let me just straighten this out.
Hey, look, any guy going to the Blue Shirt Underground Radio Game 4 viewing party.
Oh, my wife's going.
He's Rizvin.
My wife's going, so I might as well go.
Yeah, your wife.
Oh, John Cohen's
been going forever.
My friend Hella John
Eunice
Conan
is be there.
I thought she couldn't get off last week. She said when I talked last show, she said, "Oh, I might not be able to go because of work."
She's but only working.
My
in the
friend
morning,
John
she will Conan get there about 1:30.
John Cohen is an interesting guy. He's going to be there. He was at the last viewing party, and he's known me since I was a Ranger fan when I was 16. I haven't seen him in 30 years, like the last time I saw him.
Oh, you were
know,
telling
me. And it's like we both didn't change at all. We're still the same guys. I mean, he went on to be a success, and I went on to a successful blog talk radio career. That's the only thing that's changed. So, oh, the great John Newman. You better be there, John Newman. We'll need somebody to make fun of. No, I'm only kidding. Frankie will not be there, and Mary will not be there. All right, so anyway, so that's the scoop. And I wanted to say that Slattery's Midtown Pub, they have been fantastic to us. They really have been great. So, props to them. All right, let's see what these people have to say.
All right.
Now, you know their names. Yeah, so you do the shping, shbang, shbang thing.
Hey, Justin.
Hey.
What's going on?
Not too much, guys. How you doing?
Good. So how are you feeling after last night's loss?
Well, I mean, I'm doing all right. I'm not too concerned about it. I'm pissed off that we lost. I didn't really get a chance to watch the game because I was at work. So when I got home, I didn't really feel like watching the highlights, but I had a wonderful person who gave me updates, so I got to keep track of the game for the most part at work.
Well, that's always good when you have somebody, a buddy, or see. I never understood that on Twitter how people update people on the game, and I'm like, aren't we all watching the game? But I don't realize there's a lot of people who don't have access to the game and need the updates. So you see a lot of the writers do that.
Right.
Yeah, no, so I didn't want to watch it after I got home for obvious reasons, but from what I hear, everything was good for the most part. I thought we played well from what I heard, and but, you know, sometimes you play well and you lose, and I guess that's kind of what happened, you know?
Yeah, it's exactly what happened.
That's what happened. It just hurts because it was at home. It was 2-2. We kind of felt like we had a real shot at it. And it just didn't work out. But I didn't see anything Washington. I was waiting for Washington to make adjustments and to maybe kind of – But they came out and played the same game they played in game one. So I don't think Gomez Adams, a.k.a. John Tortorella, the only person he can be out-coached by is himself, by putting Brandon Prust out there. In my mind, and this I had a discussion with one of my friends today, maybe you guys, I'll throw you guys in the mix for this. To me, Brandon Prust, and now Mike Rupp had that chance last night, but to me, these, not even – I won't even go as far as Rupp. But to me, Prust has been a little bit disappointing to me in these playoffs. Are you guys with me on that, or you really just don't expect too much from Brandon?
Well, you can't expect much, but he is a hard worker.
Maybe I'm just looking at something that really isn't a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I felt...
Any offense I get through, they get from Brandon Prust to me is just a bonus.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I feel. He's not really a goal scorer.
I think eventually, you know, I love Brandon Prust. Listen, you know, I don't have to preface that. We all know, other than John Mitchell, I think we pretty much like every New York Ranger. But I'm only saying that for you, Justin, because I know that you love Johnny Malkin. And what he brings to this team, maybe I'm just I was going to say that to me Prust and I wasn't going to go with Rupp. I was going to go with, well, yeah, John Mitchell. So, yeah, again, no, but they played good enough to win, and they could have won, but it just wasn't in the cards.
Yeah, well, that's the way it goes sometimes. I still feel very confident that we're going to win the series, just as I did, you know, the series before this. I still feel confident that we're going to take this one. I think we'll at least take one in Washington, and I think we'll get in at least six. I'm hoping five, but realistically, I can't really hope for that. But six would be okay with me. I mean, seven would be okay with me, but I don't want to see it go that long. God forbid I have a heart attack or something.
Yeah. Well, I want to see it in five because I have tickets for game five. I'm due for
that
goddamn victory. Oh, yes.
All that stuff with like 75 and all those years. Yeah, you're right. I'm 24. I don't remember any of that stuff. I remember the 90s and the 2000s. That's what I remember, so.
Yeah, you remember the Yager, the Yager years.
Yeah, basically.
That's
And the dark ages before it.
Yeah.
And it's funny, the Yager years are the ones where I wasn't following the Rangers as much. So I had lost interest. I watched them, but I wasn't into them. So a lot of times that era, you know, guys
era.
Your age can fill me in more. Era. Also, I wanted to. I just saw this in the chat room in all seriousness. Cutter, Jeff Diamond lost his grandma, and I think we all know how that feels or how that's going to feel. It's a big loss in anybody's life.
Yeah.
She was 87. So, Cutter, my condolences to you and your family for that. I mean, it's a terrible thing.
Condolences, Cutter. Sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
Cutter,
I
feel I'm sorry about your loss, man. I hope you feel a little bit better. I know it's pretty rough dealing with that kind of thing, so sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, it's tough. Okay, go ahead, Jim.
All right, so Justin, you're still confident in the series. You still think Rangers in six. All is good. You're not panicking.
No, and I still think you guys are all
good. All right. That just about sums it up.
I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you guys.
All right. I'll talk to you soon, Justin.
Bye.
Take it easy. Bye. Right. Justin, get the hell off my lawn. come on, switchboard. 718-225. You're on Blue Shirt Underground. Who's this?
This is Stan.
Hi, Stan.
Oh, my God. Stan, I was thinking about you the other day.
Uh-oh. Why would you be thinking about
me? No, I was. I haven't seen you. I haven't seen you in the chat room. And I remember the last time we talked, or I think you were in the chat room, I remember we were talking about McDonough, and you were like, I always remember you were the first one to really laud Ryan McDonough. So, yeah, I think about this show often. I wasn't, like, thinking bad things. I was just thinking Stan hasn't been around, and he was the first one to laud Ryan McDonough.
Yeah, I know my shit. I'm really going to tell you that in a minute. You know, so what happens is I don't get the notices from Blog Talk Radio about the show. Like, I get it the day after, which does me a lot of good. So I got to, you know, concentrate on trying to find it. Anyhow, a couple of points I want to make. Apparently, I'm not the only one who thinks this way, because Tortorella also does. But why is he playing Bickle ahead of Emminger?
No,
you have an answer to that? He plays the guy 4 minutes a game. He has no faith in him.
I think he would play Emminger 4 minutes a game.
He can play
Emminger. I think that's the way.
Well, I think Emminger's a little more solid than Bickle.
I think if I'm John Tortorella, I'm thinking he likes a guy with a little bit more grittiness, a little bit more jam. I guess
yeah,
that's
maybe he's playing the Flyers and Devils, but against Washington?
No.
I don't know.
I know you know your shit, Stan. And I'm not disagreeing with I'm just trying to go inside, you know, Jack Adams' brain here.
Yeah.
And the way he does it, and it is, he kills that first pair. They play 30 minutes a game. He does
not
believe.
He's playing five defensemen the whole game.
Yeah.
If they get into one of these double overtime things, it's going to catch up to them.
You know? I'm surprised it hasn't caught up to them just all season long. I mean, these guys never get a break.
Yeah.
And he just pushes them and pushes them. And they're like a horse. You're expecting them to break down once in a while, you know, just from exhaustion. So the way I feel, to answer your question, is that if Emminger was in Bickle's place, Emminger would be that sixth defenseman that doesn't play as much anyway.
I think he's played more than 4 minutes.
That's how I feel.
Anyway, I got one other thing. Today I got the draft preview issue from the Hockey News. And this is a guy wrote this, Ronnie Shucker. I have no idea who he is. But he's not the only guy to say this. They mentioned Kreider in here. Now, you know, I've been talking about him for a while. I'll read the exact quote here. The Rangers refused to part with left winger Chris Kreider in the Nash sweepstakes for good reason. He's got elite power forward potential. And they say the expected Boston College junior ranked 23rd in the Future Watch to get a year of seasoning in the American Hockey League before he comes to Broadway. Now, I told my son, I don't know if you remember, my son works at ESPN, and he's a big Ranger fan.
Right,
he knows his shit also. I told him a year ago, this guy isn't going to spend a minute in Hartford. And this isn't the only guy to say that they think Kreider is going to spend time in Hartford. And the other thing is, 23rd in the Future Watch? I mean, there's 22 guys better than him? Prospects? I mean, are they kidding me? There's five guys in the world better than this guy.
You know what it is? It's the bias from, I believe. If Chris Kreider was playing in juniors and put up the numbers he did, he would be ranked a lot higher. For some reason, and listen, to the Rangers' benefit, they've been able to pick up the college ranks and pick some really good players up from there. While everybody has been, you know, going to Europe, looking at this guy and this Swedish Elite League guy and this guy from Russia and this and that. And when all comes said and done, you had a brilliant talent, and Chris Kreider was drafted out of high school, just as was a phenom back then. He's been a phenom in college, and he's going to be a phenom in the NHL. It's an easy equation, and you could see it right now. I don't know what that guy, Clam Shucker, whatever that guy's name was talking about. He doesn't know anything.
No, I've read other people who said he's going to go to Hartford for a year. I've seen a guy a year ago saying there's no way. This guy's coming right to the Rangers, top line.
Yes. In the preview, did they say who the Rangers were going to take or what would be available for them in this year?
No, they just list like the top 100 guys. You know, who knows? I mean, the Rangers are going to be picking at the bottom of the first round, so there's no way to guess, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, the way Gordy Clark picks them and, you know, if you're not in the know, like, because you know your shit.
Yeah, tell Gordy to call me if he needs any help.
I'll get Gordy Clark to call you. That's good. And you're doing good, right?
Yeah.
You got Kreider and now McDonough, you're doing well. Anybody else on the horizon I got to look out for? How about JT Miller? I like JT Miller.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be on the team next year, but probably maybe the year after.
Let me ask you this, Dan.
Yeah.
My friends keep asking me about Dylan McElrath. Where are you on him?
I was just going to mention him. He just went to Hartford. I don't know if you know that or not, because it's a season.
Right. Yeah, I saw that.
In fact, if they advance in the playoffs, I may go up there to see him. He'll probably spend next year in Hartford, but he certainly could be brought up, like if there's an injury or something, because he's probably pretty close. But they probably just want him. But the Rangers are pretty deep on defense. They probably want him to get some experience. But I'm looking forward to see him, kill a few people.
Oh man, he's going to be a monster. I saw in Traverse City in preseason. I really like what I saw.
The problem with him is that he's so big that in junior he's killing all these little guys. Because the guy who's like 5'9" comes up to his chest, so he's always getting suspended and penalties because he's killing them. when he's in the pros, you know, the guys are bigger, so he won't be, you know, hitting all these guys in the head by just giving them legal checks.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, I agree with you. I think, and he's something the Rangers really need, and it's going to force the Rangers to move, I think, some defensemen. The whole Tim Erickson and where he fits into the whole equation when McElrath does eventually join the Rangers will be interesting to see. Unless that's their third pair.
I expect Erickson to make the team next year. Definitely.
Okay. All right, Stan. Well, keep the lookout.
All right.
And keep the faith. What do you think about last night's game?
They played pretty well. You know, they've got a little sloppy. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it.
Okay. All right, Stan. Well, take care, and thanks for calling and checking in with us.
All right,
thanks,
guys.
Stan.
Take care.
Good to talk to you. Take care.
Take care, brother.
Excuse me. We have 9 minutes left to go. We got two phone calls online. We'll save Mandar for the end. Thursday night I will be flying. So if you want to do a show Thursday night, I'll be unavailable.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. We'll see.
All right.
I'll probably do a show, but I don't know yet.
All right.
I hate the technical difficulties I had to deal with last time. Oh, that drove me nuts. Anyway.
732-614, you're on Blue Shirt Underground. Who's this?
This is Kevin.
Mr. Power?
No, not Kevin Power.
Oh.
Sorry to disappoint.
No, you're not. I'm not disappointed. You just kind of sounded like him, and he does your same name, so that's okay. You don't have to be Kevin Power. What's going on, Kevin?
Nothing. I'm just studying and watching this Devils game.
What's the score of the game?
3-1 Devils.
Uh-oh.
3-1 Devils.
Is that good or bad? I don't know.
I like it.
Just let them kill each other for 7 games.
I think we match up better with the Devils than the Flyers. I didn't look too much. I know we went 6-0 against the Flyers, but they seem to be built for the playoffs, more so than the Devils are.
Yeah, that's the way I feel. Like, I almost feel like I think we can beat the Devils. The Flyers, maybe we won the 6th game. I mean, we own them in the regular season. But mm-hmm. I'm afraid that may come back to bite us in the ass in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I know
they are resilient. And they are resilient. They can come back on you. So, and mm-hmm. I think the Devils just don't have the personnel. I'm not a fan. So.
Yeah, I agree.
So what did you? So why the hell did you call us, Kevin?
I don't know. I was going to say last night I wasn't. I didn't watch the game. I wasn't really too pissed about the game. I thought they played a good game. I thought out of the 4 losses they've had to the playoffs, this was their best one. I thought they played better than this game, than the 3 losses against the Senators.
That's the way I felt, and it was an odd feeling because they lost, and usually I'm just so pissed, and nah, they didn't do this. They don't care. Mm-hmm. You got to come out with a sense of urgency. And meanwhile, they did all that. And, it didn't work out. I don't know. It's kind of a strange feeling for me. But
I'm not in panic mode.
I think if you're in panic mode, you're a big any Ranger fan that's in panic mode right now is a stunad. They need to be, you know, given Thorazine immediately because there's no reason to be freaking crazy over one game.
Yeah.
And I just want to say something to you. Not to you personally, Kevin, but to these other people that continually report about people who are idiots, I think you're just fueling the fire. That's what these people want. They want you to say, some idiot on OutsideTheGarden.com said that Gaborik is a free floater, he's a floater, he doesn't care. Don't even report. I don't even want to hear secondhand nonsense.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
Yeah.
And, I also agree with the last guy was Stan. I agree with him about starting Eminger over Bickle. I think that Hechter's more reliable defensively than Stu Bickle is.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Right.
That's just my opinion. And I'm not – I mean, he's only going to play 3 minutes, so what the hell does it matter? I'd rather have someone there who's not going to make – who's more reliable for those 3 minutes than Stu Bickle is.
I just think that – and, again, I agree with you. To me, they're interchangeable. Emminger might be a little bit better. But Bickle is Tortorella, an overachieving guy. Spent time in the ECHL, spent time in the minors, and is kind of overachieving, and he's got some, you know, a little grit to him. But like you and actually Stan said, that in this series, that's really not necessary. And maybe after the mistake he made last night, everybody said, oh, you know, the focus maybe more on Bickle. To me, what you just said at the end of it, where it's kind of interchangeable because they're only going to play 3 minutes anyway, so what's it really going to matter?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see what happens down the line. I'm glad the Rangers do have some depth. Do you think we'll ever see Jeff Wojtka again?
No, not a shot. Jeff Wojtka is useless. I don't even know if that guy. I didn't know that. I forgot the guy was on the team until you just mentioned his name.
All right, well, Kevin, listen, we got to take some other calls before we get off the air here. Are you coming to the viewing party on Saturday?
I can't. I have to. I have finals this week. I have to study.
You will learn more at our viewing party than you'll ever learn in school.
I won't dispute that, but I still need to pass my classes.
All right, yeah. Fine. All right, Kevin. Maybe we'll see you at the next one. Thanks, buddy. Take care.
All right. You too. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Kevin, the head of the Jeff Wojtka fan club.
Jeff.
I love the emotion. Jeff, the vitriol. The vitriol that came out of him after we mentioned Jeff Wojtka's name. Anywho, so what else we got, Rob? We got another caller here?
Good evening, Mandar.
Good evening, uh-oh, gentlemen.
How are you?
Now, Mandar, did you happen to hear the last broadcast we did on podcast?
I did not. I'm ashamed to say that.
Well, now I don't think Costa
everybody's
is
all excited
in
about telling me how wonderful Chris Kreider is.
Well, yes, of course. No, that wasn't the case. You know, we got a couple minutes here, so I'll make a quick. Costa the Crazy Greek, who's not here to defend himself, said that he calls you the monotonic Mandar, and you go on for 30 minutes, and he leaves the program when you go on, and we should cut you down to at least 15 minutes. What do you have to say to that?
And somehow, with Costa leaving the show, somehow the quality of the show goes down? That's all I have to say. If we're really worried about the losing Costa when I come on, I'm thinking that's addition by.
Well, I kind of said, you know, and I defended you. I mean, we would not have. I don't know if I defended you, but in my head I did. I mean, we certainly are not going to keep you on if you don't have anything worthwhile to say. And I think when you come on, you make some good points, and you do have something worthwhile to say. So the length of – usually, that's how it works. If you got something to say, we keep you on. Either you're crazy and we let you go, you know, like there's certain people like Frankie, we let you go because, you know, he's nuts. And there's people who have information, and then we keep them on. So
he is very highly related.
You have 2 minutes? You got a minute to go. Give me a summation of last night's game. Go. That's it?
He's gone. I think you upset him.
Wow. Wow.
Mandar?
That's what
Uh-oh. I don't know what happened.
How could I have upset? I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Mandar, we lost you. I don't
Maybe
know what happened.
His wife walked in, caught him on the phone. So, well, that's it. We'll see you after game 3.
We lost.
Broadcast to be determined. TBA. To be announced.
Uh-oh.
What? Mando's not pissed. Trust me.
Well, I feel bad. I made him whole. You know, I always like to bring him in at the end and kind of, you know, finish the show with Mandar. And we go into the podcast with Mandar. And, you know, we lost
him. Back in the chat room. Back in the chat room, I see.
Oh. All right.
Well, we're in podcast Coast, mode, aren't
yeah,
we now?
Costa cut his line. Well, we're officially into the podcast.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway. Well, enjoy the game tomorrow night, and I will call you, I guess, Friday from Pennsylvania. I'm flying in Thursday night.
Okay. Sounds so, good.
We should have a good – I think we're going to have a good crowd. Colin Cosell said he'd be there. We've got 20 confirmed in the Facebook group, but I know more than that are coming, so.
Yeah, okay. Well, it should be good. I'm trying to get as many people there. As possible too, as well. So,
cool.
All right, my friend.
It'll be fun. All right, I'll give you a call Friday.
All right, take care.
You too. Bye.